Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much. We have a wonderful guest on today, Marjorie Wildcraft. And you'd say, how did she get that great name, Wildcraft, when she grows her own food? And we're going to ask her how she got involved in this and whether her name influenced her. But first, I should tell you that Persona Nutrition is our sponsor. I'm really excited. There, if you're confused about vitamins or minerals or supplements in general, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. Imagine that you can get supplements customized just to your needs. You may not need anything. You can visit mypersona.com, take the free online assessment, talk to a nutritionist, find out if you need anything or not. It's all free. And if you decide you're going to get something, they can help guide you, or that free online assessment can help you figure out if you need anything or not. This, again, is Dr. Mike Roizen, and our guest today is the founder of the Grow Network, Marjorie Wildcraft, and her favorite food is artichokes. She's featured for a lot of her work, but she has a BS in electrical engineering and an MA in transpersonal psychology and an MBA in entrepreneurship. She is a master gardener, but she says that any of us, even as black a thumb person as myself, could grow half my food in my garden. We have a large yard, so I could probably do that without trouble for the yard, just trouble for me, but in under an hour a day. So let's talk to Marjorie. Marjorie, did your name influence Wildcraft? Did it influence your choice? And by the way, I forgot to find out your website, so tell me your website before we start.
Sure. We're at thegrownetwork.com.
Is it The Grow Network or just Grow Network?
The Grow Network.
Thegrownetwork.com. And when we go there, what do we find and what would you like us to find? Because you've got over 400,000, 440,000 people are stopping the destruction of Earth via homegrown food in the Grow Network, and I'll bet it's larger than that by now.
Yeah, we are growing like crazy. And it is. It's a movement of people that are like, hey, you know, commercial agriculture is destructive, hugely destructive to the planet, as is, you know, conventional medicine. And you can contribute to stopping that just by growing your own food in your backyard. In fact, we show people how to grow half of their own food in their backyard in less than an hour a day. I promise you that will be the most enjoyable hour of your day. But when you go to the Grow Network, yeah, we're pretty much the leader in this movement. We have a really active, engaged forum with a whole bunch of experienced homesteaders that are loving to help new people out. We have a newsletter that comes out twice a week. We have a blog where we're posting new posts every day on topics related to growing food, making medicine, preserving food, you know, wildcrafting. We also have a store, and we have an academy where we teach people step by step how to implement these things. So it's become quite a big business, actually. So I'm really delighted.
So I do a session every Wednesday at the Cleveland Clinic for our employees, and goes on Vimeo, called In the Kitchen with Chef Jim and Dr. Mike. Chef Jim is Jim Perko, who's our executive chef. But if you go, I think probably around session five or so was the summer, and you can see us going to his garden, where he grows probably 70 or 80% of his food, including a lot of a variety of greens and beans that are tremendous. But you'll see some of the sessions as you, I think we were doing scallions or ramps that day, and you'll see his garden, which is, but he spends a lot more than an hour a day there.
Well, you know, you can spend more. And actually, you know, I'm doing a, Dr. Rosen, I'm doing a series of interviews with CEOs who grow their own food. So these are unbelievably talented and driven women that have founded, you know, biotech companies or alternative energy companies or, you know, executives that are managing divisions of thousands of employees. But they're still, you know, in their backyards, I'd say most of them on average for about 30 minutes, you know, growing tomatoes or taking care of chickens. And every single one of them, of course, they could buy anything they want. You know, they're making plenty of money. Every single one of them says they do it for the stress release. They just enjoy being out there. They don't take their cell phone. They're in sunshine and fresh air. The food is amazing, which I'm sure you know, cooking with Chef Jim, if he's growing his own. You can definitely, I definitely would love to spend more time. A lot of us are pretty busy. But the thing is people don't realize that it's possible. You know, a lot of people go, well, you know, I don't want to have to devote my whole life. But growing half of your own food is a substantial amount. And to be able to do that in less than an hour a day is definitely doable, right?
So let's go for, I want to go and do two cases, if you will, Marjorie. We're talking to Marjorie
Sure.
Wildcraft, the CEO, if you will, and founder of the Grow Network, and it's thegrownetwork.com. Let's take two cases. One is a experienced gardener who's done flowers but not food, and the second is the complete novice. So one of the things that I learned early on when I started planting food around here is that deer can get in just about anything, and what the deer don't get in, somehow some foxes or something must also find food. So I've learned from Jim how to do this, Chef Jim, how he does it. But how do you start? Where do you start? And do you start indoors? Do you start outdoors? Do you start small? How would one start?
Yeah, I really recommend you start small. And since we're doing this show now, it's December. If you're in a northern climate and you can't, you know, it doesn't make sense to grow food if it's snowing and frozen outside, then definitely start indoors. And people really underestimate the power of herbs. So you can go buy some basil or some chives or parsley or cilantro, something like that, at a local nursery that would be available now, and start growing it. In the window right next to your kitchen sink. And the cool thing about it is even though it's just a small few number of plants, just using a little bit of fresh herb will absolutely transform the taste of a dish, right? Just a little bit of fresh basil on something completely changes it. It's always astonished me that, you know, even just like a teaspoon of fresh basil will completely change a spaghetti sauce.
And you can grow basil, really huge basil plants. My daughter has started doing this in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they're almost too much basil for the whole block to use.
Yeah,
she's grown
that's,
in.
When you make pesto right out of it, so it's great. Yeah,
right.
But the key thing with those plants are, so we're doing it now. It's December. The cool thing about it is what you learn from those three or four potted plants in your windowsill, like what happens to the leaves when you forget and they accidentally dry out, or what do they look like when they don't get enough sun, or what do they look like when they're too wet? You know, all those kind of things. Those same things are going to be true when you're outdoors in the spring planting in a bigger garden, or if you're managing acres of crops. So you're learning a lot from just a couple of plants. So don't underestimate the power. And yeah, when it does become springtime, or when, like in the South now, this is actually the best time to garden in the South, I really recommend a raised bed garden. And for a beginner, one that's like 4 feet wide by 12 and a half feet long. So you got 50 square feet made out of cinder blocks. You stack up two cinder blocks high. Don't have to glue them in together or anything. Fill it up with the best quality soil that you can. And that's a great beginning garden right there. It's so simple.
And when you start to do this, how do you get the, where do you get the soil from? Where do you get it? And how do you start that? In other words, we're doing two cinder blocks high. I assume what you mean then is you're doing a total two cinder blocks high. Are you putting the and 12 by 4, so roughly 50 square feet? Do you raise the whole garden? Is the cinder block guarding the garden? And what do you do to keep the deer away?
Ah, so also before we put the blocks down, you're going to want to, get rid of as much of the grass as you possibly can and put down a layer of a thick landscape cloth because you're going to want to create a weed barrier. And yes, you're going to want to go buy the best quality soil you can buy. And hopefully there's a local nursery nearby where they make soil and you can just buy it from them. You'll need about the size of, a Ford F-150 pickup truck amount of soil. That'll fill up that garden bed for you. And really try to get your best organic soil. And as you're well aware with nutrition, the nutrition in the plants ultimately comes from the soil. That's why you want to get the best alive, mineral-rich soil that you can. And then you use the cinder blocks to make basically the container and fill that up with soil and then plant in that. Now, deer are a major challenge. There's absolutely true. I end up using dogs. Dogs love to chase deer. I usually actually have two dogs, and I like to have small to medium-sized ones so I don't have to feed the dogs too much. And, they're outside dogs. They're working dogs. They're pets in that I do love them, but they have a job and they have a function. And their function is to run off the deer and the raccoons and the squirrels and everything, and they love that. And I used to always have chickens and rabbits, and they protect them too. If you don't want to have dogs, because I understand that is a thing, the next best thing that I would recommend is electric fencing. And there's a company called Premier One where you can get this wonderfully movable netting fencing and a small battery with a solar panel that you can hook up. And the deer do not like the electric fencing, so they'll stay away from that.
And now, is there a, other than basil, which apparently, and I've grown herbs by the windowsill for years. But other than that, what's the next plant to start with?
So when you're
what's easiest?
Yeah. So let's say you've got the, maybe you're going to go to a bigger container on your patio, or you're going to actually plant in that 50 square foot bed. Squash and beans are super, super easy to plant. Everybody loves tomatoes. The National Gardening Association does a survey every year, and tomatoes always win. And definitely plant tomatoes because they're fun. But know that it's odd that everybody's favorite plant is somewhat a little bit more challenging than others. Some years they do great and some years they don't. So tomatoes are greatly fun. Beans and the squash and the greens like the kale and the chard and the lettuces, those are all really pretty easy to grow. There's two things. One is what you love to eat, those plants will respond better. Plants are living, sentient beings. We don't normally think of them that way because we're used to seeing them as a commodity in the grocery store, but they really are. And when you're growing something that you love, that food is so much better, and it responds better, and those plants do better. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is grow what you love to eat. And the other is, I have some people, especially the big hefty guys, and they're like, well, I don't like vegetables at all. Homegrown food is such a different thing. It's so much more nutritionally dense and so much tastier that if you've never eaten homegrown vegetables, then you have probably never eaten vegetables. So, on one side, grow what you love, and then on the other side, you may want to experiment because there's might be things that you love. Like for me, I never really liked squash growing up, but when I started to grow it in my own garden, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I love it, you know. So, experiment a bit. One thing I noticed on your site is that you've got a lot about longevity, and I'd just like to mention that I've also been fascinated. Who isn't, right? Especially as you get older, you get more fascinated about longevity, right? And I've followed many, 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 many interviews of people that are centenarians, and all of them grew their own food for most of their life, if not all of their life. And there's actually a pretty simple explanation for that, and that is a lot of them lived rurally or, you know, not in the big cities. And in a lot of those areas, for example, they didn't even get electricity until the 1960s or 1970s. So growing food was a part of the life. That's how you ate, right? So they lived an entirely different lifestyle. But I've always found that fascinating.
It's also how they got a lot of physical activity. As Chef Jim says, it's functional exercise when you have a garden.
I often think that the process of growing food has more health benefits than eating the nutritious products. Yeah.
Now, let's go back and how did you get involved in this? And what's the genesis of the Grow Network, if you will? What's the message that the Grow Network is, and how do people join the Grow Network? Can they go to thegrownetwork.com and join?
Yeah, you can go there and just, we've got the newsletter, sign up for that, enjoy our forums. If you would like to learn how to grow half of your own food in your backyard, you can go to a website we have called growhalf.com. And that's a free video where we'll show you exactly a three-part system that you can begin to implement and grow half of your own food. How the Grow Network started is I'm not the daughter of hippies or anything. I don't come from a farming, gardening family. I didn't really know anything about it. As you mentioned, my first degree is in engineering. I get degrees in psychology and business. I was a professional investor for a period of time, and I had been a student of Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'd built up a very successful business. And one day I started to look at the business model for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I said, oh my goodness, this whole thing is going to come apart. And when it does, there's going to be major, major economic and global transformation. And basically what I was doing was predicting what happened in 2008. So I dismantled the whole business, and I said, what's the most important thing in that kind of a transformational period when humanity goes through that period? What is going to be the most important thing? And the most important thing is having a food supply, because as we're starting to live through now, the global food chains are breaking down, and we will see more of that in 2021. And so I said I'd really like to learn this, and I would also like to help people. After I learned and got pretty well at it, then we started teaching other people, and that's the genesis of the Grow Network. I will say that 2008 happened, but it wasn't it, and I knew it wasn't it, and I've actually been really, really grateful that we've had essentially an extra decade to build out most of the Grow Network, but this is it. What we're involved in now is a transformation that has never been seen in human history before. And if you thought 2020 was interesting, 2021 is going to be a magnitude of order more turbulent and transformative.
And that's even more reason to grow your own food. I live in a rather, if you will, pleasant and middle-class, upper-middle-class suburb, I suppose. And one of the neighbor right behind us said they couldn't find eggs one day in the grocery store, so they started raising chickens. And so I guess that's the message of why they started be involved in getting their own food. So what was the biggest mistake you made in doing this? Hate to end on that question, but we're getting close to the end of our time on You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is 1026B, and I think this is going to be the start of our new year, because we always do a best of show as the last week of the year. So although this would normally be 1228, I think we're going to make this January 5th to start the new year with the idea of maybe you should have a resolution of starting to grow food, even if it's in window boxes in your house in the northern climates. But what was the biggest mistake you made?
Biggest mistake was trying to get too big of a garden going, trying to do too much at first. You know, having a huge garden, having a big flock of chickens, having a thing, it was too much, too big. And especially in these times, you know, people are panicking and they're like, oh my gosh, like your friends, like, I think there's going to be major disruptions. I'd really better get it all going right now. I promise you, start small. That 50 square foot garden bed will produce a lot. You really only need about 100. You only really need about two of those garden beds per person to produce a huge amount of produce. Start small. I had a huge garden. It was so frustrating. I couldn't keep up with it. I didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, skip that step. Just start small and, you know, take care of that and build on from that. So, yes, it is time. If it's January 5th, I think by then it will be abundantly obvious that we are in very, very troubled times, and that the potential for, you know, the shutdowns and the empty shelves is going to be another thing. The food inflation will be starting to become much more apparent. So it's time. And, you know, quite frankly, you're going to end up, for me, it was hugely transformative. Growing my own food is so empowering, and I love it so much, and it's so grounding, and it's such a positive thing to do. It's such a relief than rather than focusing on the news. So it'll actually be one of the most beautiful things that you do in 2021.
We've been talking with Marjorie Wildcraft. What a great name for a wild craft. Who is the founder of the Grow Network, thegrownetwork.com. And you can find out much more about her at that site. This has been episode 1026B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. As usual, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. I get my supplements from Persona, and you can too. Just go to mypersona.com. It's a free site, and you can talk freely, no charge, to talk to a nutritionist and evaluate what you're missing or not. You can take the free online assessment at mypersona.com, mypersona.com. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week with another wonderful guest. Caitlin, thanks for great engineering, but especially you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us, rate us, and by all means, make the resolution to start to grow your own food. Thanks again for helping us all understand how to grow your own food. Start with cinder blocks. We'll be back next week.